There is a mystery. Elusive. Unpredictable. Violent. It terrifies most scientists. But for a new breed, the challenge is saving lives. The research is deadly. The laboratory is nature itself.
That's from the 1996 movie Twister, about brave scientists who chase tornadoes for the good of humanity. Today we're talking with a real live one of those, Dr. Katja Friedrich. She's a meteorologist at the University of Colorado's Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences, who's one of nearly 100 scientists working on the largest ever field experiment in the Plains State to study tornadoes in order to learn how to predict when one might hit next. The project is called Vortex 2. That's an acronym for Verification of the Origins of Rotation in Tornadoes Experiment.
Oh, I love it.
Welcome, Katja.
Good morning.
So you're not spooked?
Not really.
So this is not the movies. This is real life. Three people unfortunately died last week. How dangerous are tornadoes, and are they getting more deadly?
Tornadoes are very dangerous, although we have to say that, I mean, really getting hit by a tornado, it's a very, very rare occasion, because it's a very small feature, it's not very long-lived, and so you have to be very, very unfortunate to get hit by a tornado. Nevertheless, it does hit small towns and houses, and people get died and injured.
So that movie Twister, I remember, featured, you know, flying cars and people hiding under bridges. And we're catching you after the first week of your tornado-chasing six-week project. What is it that you're looking for, and what's it like out there?
Generally, we are looking, it's very interesting because we are not very far ahead in our research. We are still trying to understand very basic features. So why do tornadoes form? How do they form? How strong are they getting? What are the features that actually intensifying these tornadoes? So these are the main things. And what we are trying to do is just to improve the warnings or the forecast. So give people, instead of 8-10 minutes, give them a few more minutes to seek shelter and save their properties. So right now we've been in week two. It's not we've had two intersections and we did not really see a tornado. So that's what I'm saying. It's very unlikely that you actually see a tornado and that you intercept the tornado. It's very, very difficult.
So what are you doing? Driving around and looking for disturbances in the atmosphere? I mean, what's the daily life of a tornado chaser like?
So usually we start with weather analysis, and that's very complicated. We have to make up our mind in the morning where we are going. So usually we are looking for disturbances where it's very likely that tornadoes form. Then usually we drive out and we are watching the radar images and see if there are any supercells that develop along some lines. And so it's a huge difference if you go out alone or if you have a fleet of 50 to 60 cars that you have to organize. So usually if we see these supercells...
That's what you have? 50 to 60 cars?
That's what we have, yes. We are actually... This is a very, very big experiment. So, and then we are trying to organize these people along these supercells so they can actually take measurements. And then we have to stick with one of these thunderstorms, and we have to hope that one of these thunderstorms are actually forming a tornado.
What are the signatures you're looking for? Is it temperature? Is it precipitation? What?
Usually we look at the Doppler, the radar images, and we are looking for signature in the radar reflectivity. So usually a very distinct signature is our rotation, or is this called hook echo, which is like a comma-shaped signature in the radar reflectivity.
So do you feel disappointed at the end of the day if you haven't seen that, or do you feel relieved?
Since our objective is to measure tornadoes, we are sometimes a little bit disappointed if we don't see any tornadoes. However, all kind of measurements are interesting because, as I said, we don't really know why some thunderstorms form tornadoes where others do not form tornadoes. They even have measurements within supercells that do not form a tornado is actually very valuable to the project.
Why is it so hard to predict a tornado?
Because these features are occurring for probably just a few minutes, they're very small, and it's very dangerous, and we didn't really have the equipment to go close and do the measurements. So we are really lacking information of general temperature, pressure within the vicinity of a tornado.
What if at the end of your experiment, Katja, you discover that they're like snowflakes? Everyone is different, and there's really no way to predict.
Yeah, maybe we don't find a way to predict, but generally, as I said, I mean, you're trying even the warning to increase this from 8 minutes to 10 minutes, and people are looking at me. I mean, really, really trying to get to gain more, 2 more minutes, but that's actually what we do.
That's good, 2 extra minutes? I mean, that will really save lives?
Yes, I mean, some people have more time to seek shelter. And also you have to remember that there are major cities within the, what we call Tornado Alley. There's Dallas, and even Chicago is at the edge of Tornado Alley. So these people would really appreciate if they have 2 more minutes.
What are you going to be doing for the next 5 weeks? Driving around with these same 60 cars every day? Hoping you're not disappointed?
Every day in a different hotel. So we are driving around from Texas up to North Dakota and trying to look for tornadoes and trying to intercept any tornadoes that we can find.
All right. Well, good luck to you. We'll be watching for the results of your research.
It's a lot of driving.
Yes.
A lot of Mexican food.
Yes, fast food.
Thank you very much, Dr. Katja Friedrich of the University of Colorado's Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. Now we have headlines with Femi Okeh.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.